What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. We're doing the listener spotlight here with my friend Robbie McFarland. Robbie is an athletic trainer at Klein High School in Klein ISD. Robbie, why don't you tell us quickly, how many years have you been in the profession?
I've been doing this for 7 years.
7 years. All right. So how did you learn about the profession of athletic training? How did you learn about the profession of athletic training?
I was a 4-5 sport athlete in high school, and we didn't have an athletic training program. Our athletic trainer was the coach that got put in charge of the band-aids and the taping, what have you. So he was our athletic trainer. So we didn't really have one, but we had a substitute teacher the end of my junior year in one of my history classes, actually for a coach that was at a track meet. And she had mentioned that her cousin had went down to A&M Kingsville and was going to be in the sports medicine program. And I asked this substitute teacher, what was that? How did that work out? And she was like, oh, you get to work with all the sports, and just gave me the full rundown. And I'm thinking, hey, that's 30 minutes from the house. I get to stay around sports. My ultimate goal was actually to be a coach and be a teacher. And I found athletic training in college to be that kind of segue, not realizing until I got there and learned more about athletic training, because I had not known about that when I get to college and I start understanding what athletic trainers do, not only was I still intent on being a coach, but I fell in love with athletic training as a profession and knew that they go hand in hand, so it wouldn't hurt to be able to do both, given whatever scenario. As you and I have talked before, I wore a headset and a fanny pack at the same time. So really, that's how I learned about athletic training, and it wasn't until I got to college that I really began to understand the profession as a whole.
Isn't it funny that the chance opportunity where a substitute teacher told you about their nephew or whatever you said it was being in sports medicine at a college nearby?
Brother, you know me and I know you, and absolutely understand that was a higher power involved. I am where I'm supposed to be, and it's not by my doing.
All right. So what is your athletic trainer story?
So my story, so where I come from, that type of deal. So basically, my story, you heard how I heard about athletic training, ended up going down to Texas A&M University, Kingsville. Go Javelinas. You're going to have Israel Montano on after me. And Izzy, me and him were roommates in college, great friend of mine. And he's probably an even better athletic trainer than I am. And he's maybe funnier than me, but he's real quiet. You would never know that. But anyhow, I ended up at A&M Kingsville and cut my teeth in a very hard athletic training program. It wasn't easy. When something needed to be done, the student athletic trainers were the ones that were called upon. Unique story about my situation was that when I was recruited to A&M Kingsville, I get down there and I'm wide-eyed, ready to go, don't know anything about athletic training. And guess who the only freshman that came into that program that year was? Me. And so here I am, having a lot more responsibility thrown on me as a freshman. It didn't break me, made me better. This is one of my, you know, where I come from in life. When I tell kids you could do anything you want to do, I tell them that part, that I was the only freshman. And on top of that, we were down that year and we only had 5 other athletic trainers in the program my freshman year. So a ton of responsibility fell on me. And one day, Ruben, our head athletic trainer down there, said, I need somebody to work with men's basketball. And normally this is saved for an upper level student, but I need a body right now. Can you do it? I knew nothing about basketball, nothing about athletic training at the point, but I knew I was going to be thrown on the spot doing an upper level student's job to be there and provide the hydration and essentially be an athletic trainer or student athletic trainer at the time for men's basketball. So I had 6 weeks to learn everything I could learn and educate myself. Mind you, no high school background in this. And everything I learned in that amount of time, I taught myself, and Missy Frazier, she taught me. And it was her and I, since I was the only student taking the sports medicine class at the college at the time. There was another student. He dropped because she's too hard of a teacher, he said. And so it was me and Missy Frazier, 6:30 every morning. That's what time our sports medicine class was in college. And I'm coming off the road with our basketball team. I've been at 5:30 workouts, whatever the case is. And sometimes, Jeremy, I'm sitting there and I'm holding my eyes open like this, trying to stay awake because I knew I needed, it was make or break, learn this stuff or have a bunch of basketball players call you on the fact that you don't know how to tape an ankle or you don't know anything. And so I put it upon myself just to be the best I could be. Hammered out that class, ended up working men's basketball along with football and some other sports. And during that time, ended up playing college basketball. Never played basketball at all, and ended up we got down to 8 people through injuries and through a couple of guys leaving, and I ended up playing on the practice squad. And our basketball coach at the time still says to this day he should have got me out in the game. I don't know, but I was a student trainer, and then I was practicing basketball, and then I know this is all ethically wrong. Don't go have everybody go freak out here, but it happened. I played basketball, was a student trainer. So I tell kids as well, hey, I played college basketball and never played basketball in high school. Gives me a great story to get them motivated. A lot of things that I learned in A&M Kingsville, how to play basketball, how to fix a shot clock, how to tape an ankle, how to be a hardworking athletic trainer. And then that led me to Rivera High School, where I was hired as a coach and an athletic trainer, as we covered in a previous episode. Mm-hmm. What do you do with those type of conflicts? And once again, bright eye, bushy tail, ready to do anything I had to do. And I was coaching 5 sports. I was the athletic trainer for the high school and the middle school. And then after a year and a half of that, I realized probably wasn't going to live very long if I kept running that pace, and ended up applying outside of South Texas, which led me here to Klein High School. And I've been here for 5 years now. So that's my story, man.
All right. So we talked about the time where you had your heart restarted. What is the worst injury that you have dealt with as an athletic trainer?
This is a question that we all get asked, right, Jeremy? We get asked in our class. The kids always want to know, what's the worst thing you've ever seen? And my standard answer in my last 7 years of the profession is define worst. Define most worst injury. What's the worst something you can see? I said, I've seen plenty of stuff sticking out of skin. I've seen ankles turn around backwards or feet laying to the side and the legs going the other way. You know, you've seen it. And I think everybody else would say that would be the worst injury you've ever seen, right? Because of the graphic nature. However, I tell my students all the time that despite how graphic whatever those injuries may have been, they're not the worst injury in my opinion. The worst injury, in my opinion, is the one where the athlete is hit or falls in, you know, falls down, and they don't move. If I had to kind of give you a top 3, just combining most graphic and really what I consider to be the worst type of injury, which would be a life-altering injury for that athlete, I would say my number one worst injury, something that I don't wish to ever have to deal with again, was one of our football players. Something happened, but he got basically hit on a reverse block and it blew his helmet into pieces. I mean, ear pads were flying out, mouthpiece goes everywhere. The kid lifts up probably 2 feet off the ground. One of the hardest hits I've ever seen, lands on the ground. And before the whistle's blown, I didn't realize it. I was already out past the numbers running because I knew he was out. And so we get to him. He was doing a bit of posturing, and as he was coming to, in and out of consciousness, he wouldn't talk to us. He couldn't respond in any way. We knew we were dealing with something pretty serious, and that's just the worst feeling you can have as an athletic trainer. Come to find out later that everything checked out on his neck and no life-altering scenarios, and we couldn't get a response. We found out later the reason we couldn't get the response, his jaw was broken in 2 places. And that's why he told us later, he said, that's why I wasn't talking to you, because my jaw hurt too bad to move it. And so that was my number one worst injury, because I really thought this kid was, life was changed forever. But then you talk about worst injuries, just femur fracture in a very young kid that my first year coaching, and they got to land a helicopter out there on the field. That was one of the worst. And then I would say the young man that looked like his ankle kind of did the whole exorcist head twist thing, but it was almost completely backwards. And I got a little queasy running out there. So those are probably my top 3 worst things.
Okay. Tell me about your most memorable moment as an athletic trainer.
Wow. Man, you're getting good at this question asking.
I try.
That's, I know, man. You're doing, I'm calling ESPN right now because you're asking the deep questions here. Most memorable moment as an athletic trainer is probably the, wow, dude, that's tough. I would, there's so many moments, and you could probably relate with this as well. So many moments. You think, is it getting that ACL kid back out on the field? Is it getting that long-term rehab or what shoulder, whatever, getting them back and seeing them score that first touchdown or make that first basket? That to me is I have a ton of those memories. And then I have the memories with our student trainers where they share with me that I've made an impact on their life, that they see me as a father figure. Those are the situations that I think very highly of. But the most memorable moment as an athletic trainer probably was actually the day I took my test, my state licensure test. And I remember being the second person out of the written and the first person done with the practical portion of the exam. And I walked out, and my fiance at the time, my wife, Sammy now, was sitting in the truck picking me up. And she said, well, how'd you do? And I said, I either did really, really good or really, really bad. But if I got to retake it again, I think I can pass it. And sure enough, the best day of that was getting my letter that I was a licensed athletic trainer and I completed all those requirements. That's probably the best day because that's the day that led to everything else, right?
All right, that will work. That is your most memorable moment. Okay, so what life lesson have you learned as being an athletic trainer?
I've learned a lot about perspective. How are you going to see the glass? There's no doubt that the glass most of the time is either half full or half empty of milk. But there's milk in the glass. You always get an opportunity. There will always be everybody that wakes up every single day has an opportunity. You don't get today back. You don't know what today is going to bring. So you simply have to see that glass as half full. Take what you're given every single day and 100% in the best way that you can give your effort and continually redirect yourself when times get tough. Especially in our profession, we can get worn on and realize what the main thing is. Make the main thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that the biggest thing that I've learned in life is perspective, where I can tell an athlete that despite the fact that your season is done, I can tell them with optimism that they're in good hands and that it's going to be okay. And that perspective, I'm just learning more about that. Is it ever, it's never really as bad as you think it is. It's probably never as good as you think it is, but somewhere in the middle lies our everyday in and out. And with that perspective, teaching me to just take everything in stride, always provide the best effort possible, continue to see the glass is half full and you still have an opportunity. And what are you going to do with that?
All right. Now, with that being said, what is a piece of advice you would like to share with athletic trainers?
Wow. You know, something popped in my head, and I say this with absolute 100% love in my heart to every athletic trainer out there, but help take care of us. Take care of other athletic trainers. Realize where the real true problems are and realize that anybody that's done their time in college and passed the right tests and certifications, on paper, we're all the same people. And we're people, just the bottom line at that. And to always push to better the profession, to better our situation, and to continually provide value, et cetera. But I would encourage athletic trainers to do that in a way that we don't cannibalize ourselves, that we don't say, that's the problem, he's the problem, she's the problem, what they do, how they do it is the problem, and to just continually educate and love on maybe the other athletic trainers that haven't been at your position in your career. One of the biggest things I have to use this as an example here would be that a young, fresh athletic trainer, they're fired up, ready to go. They'll do anything for anybody, anytime, anywhere. Then you have a veteran that would come down on them and be upset with them for their, hey, you're just giving yourself away. You're giving your time away. You're this, that, and the other. And would one would demonize the other, whatever the case is. So the young person would say, hey, well, they're just old frump. They don't want to do anything. That's why the profession is messed up. And then vice versa. And I would encourage all athletic trainers to realize that everybody's situation is different and everybody is doing the best that they can. And we all have paid our dues to get to this point. and let's work together to push forward and make this the best thing it can ever be, even better than it is right now.
And then if you have some of those issues that need to be discussed, then hit me up on the Sports Medicine Broadcast and we can discuss them here. See, you like that, intro?
Hey, brother, that last podcast was on point, by the way. Great job with addressing all those ethical things. I think you need a part two and three.
Yeah, for sure. And he's discussing the legal concerns athletic trainers face. And so that's definitely something that I would encourage you to check out. And I got an email from Larry Cooper, one of the guys that wrote the initial statement from the NATA, him and Jim Thornton. So hopefully I can have him on and we can continue to address those and work together as a group, like you just said, to figure out what we're going to do and kind of be united and be one and moving towards one specific or one united goal. So, all right. So Robbie, three people you would like to thank and why?
I'd like to thank Bell. I'd like to thank the Bell, Saved by the Bell, Zach Morris, cell phone. Come on, man. I first and foremost, I got to thank Mom and Dad. They're the best point of encouragement. My dad, not a man of many words. I don't know where I got my gift of gab from. Probably my mom. But my dad, absolutely 100%. Showed me, not didn't tell me, but showed me what hard work was, what selfless sacrifice was. The fact that you may be tired, you may be hurting, but when that alarm clock goes off and it's time to get it done for the family, you do that. My mom, my biggest cheerleader, always concerned about my well-being, even to this day. And I have to constantly reassure that I'm going to be okay. But I know if I'm not okay, she's always there. And there, those two things right there, no, nobody else could ever take that spot. But what they've taught me, the next people on the list, I know you said top three, but I got to categorize these two into one, would be Ruben Cantu, the head athletic trainer at Texas A&M Kingsville. Just teaching me how to do what I do. And I tell a lot of people that are familiar with A&M Kingsville that know Ruben and they know the business. And when I tell them this is Ruben's fault, they understand that my athletic training career obviously came from Ruben accepting me in the program, but him also never letting me finish the first water cow he had me try to build my freshman year. I never finished that, and I like to think that Frio was kind of a subliminal issue I always had to deal with. So I finally built a hydration unit. I build a lot more than a hydration unit now. But anyhow, and then Missy Frazier, she taught me everything I know to just about everything I know, orthopedic eval, so on and so forth. And she's probably one of the best listeners to hear life problems and just bounce ideas off of. And then I would say the lady that puts up with me more than anything and deals with my moodiness sometimes and supports me with the business venture, supports me as an athletic trainer, and also that she is one, and that helps, is my wife, Sammy. And just that she doesn't always understand the things that I do as far as maybe the business or even in athletic training and the ideas I have to make it better, but she always, always supports me. And that's something I always prayed for, is that just my wife would support me and trust me, and that she would always be there. That's our place to land. And she's been that. And she's without all those people, this doesn't happen right here.
All right, very good. I would like to say one little piece of advice to you is make sure that you two have date nights. Now, I know you go out of town, like to Dallas to the workshops and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But make sure that you two have individual date nights where, you know, for our anniversary, Sarah and I are going to San Francisco, or we've been to Austin, or we just sent the kids over to her parents for, you know, a night or two and we stayed home and hung out. So make sure that you guys are getting some good quality time to where, you know, you turn your phone off because you got, like you said, four different business things going on there. So,
yeah.
So my one piece would be make your marriage a priority, and then make sure that they're the reason, or that is the reason you're doing all the other stuff, is to maintain your marriage and not, you know, you don't get those switched.
Can I add to that?
Sure.
Okay. Just briefly. First of all, we had date night last night. We try to have at least one a week. And I think that is the best advice maybe that you could give on here non-athletic training advice, absolutely. Take care of your spouse. And you're right. I have a DJ business that whatever that is, it's there. Freehold Hydration obviously is something that is something from my heart and a business that I do to provide equipment for athletic trainers that I know they need. And then I'm a full-time athletic trainer, and that one right there in itself would be enough, right? Just being an athletic trainer.
Right.
But the fact that I've got these other things going on, I told her when we talked about doing these, all these different things, and even just coaching and teaching, I told her, I said, you will always be the priority, no matter if that means I got to stay up all night, if that means I have to work a little harder beforehand or afterhand to make up, that time is yours. And I don't want you to think that I'm sitting there thinking about the other things I need to do. When I give you that time, I turn my phone off, man. I don't want to do anything other than spend that time with her, because that also puts love in the bank, is the way I tell her, is like, you know, how's your bank account? How's the bank account of your heart? Mm-hmm. Is it full? Do I need to, you know, make a deposit? Do I need to spend some time? Whatever the case is, I need to make sure that sometimes I've got to pay it forward, and sometimes I've got to put a lot of money back in the account to make up for taking advantage of her, you know, that time that we didn't get. So I think that's the greatest piece of advice that you could give to anybody that's married in this profession. Take care of your spouse, man. There's nothing more important than that, because if you don't have that support system, then you might as well hang it up. You're not going to be able to keep doing this.
All right, very good. And this is my friend Robbie McFarland, also, like I said, athletic trainer there at Klein High School, also the owner of Freehold Hydration and Third Coast Sound. If you want to get a hold of Robbie, he's pretty active on Twitter. Robbie, how can they do that?
Yeah, they can hit me up for Freehold Hydration, but that's also me. Just clearing any issues there. I run our social media along. My wife helps at times, but they can hit us up at Freehold Hydration. They can go to the website, www.freeohydration.com, and see what we are all about.
Robbie, I thank you for listening to the podcast, being an avid fan. I know that there's quite a few people who know about it because you have told them or shared it. And I think most of the people in the Valley that found out were probably because you told somebody, and then the word spread. And then, you know, this summer now they invited me to do the broadcast down at Spats. So they're hooking me up with stuff. Yeah. So
we're going to be there, baby.
So, thank you so much for being such an avid fan and being part of the Sports Medicine Broadcast.
Okay, and I here's my vote. You need to get interviewed too, because you're the real MVP right now. Appreciate you, Jeremy. Make sure you get some time on this thing too, man. You got to give your shout outs as well.
I might do that, but I think we did that last year at the Sports Medicine Update, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We were killing some time, I think, there in between, just talking about life. And that's what, hey, Spats, man, I'm fired up. But you're the man, Jeremy. We appreciate what you do for the profession.
All right. So, Jeremy Jackson, Sports Medicine Broadcast, Listener Spotlight, Robbie McFarland, that is going to be a wrap.